Our scripture this morning is a story I'm sure you're familiar with, found in the Gospel of John, most of chapter 11. Now, a man named Lazarus was sick. He was from Bethany, the village of Mary, and her sister Martha. This Mary, whose brother Lazarus now lay sick, was the same one who poured perfume on the Lord and wiped his feet with her hair. So the sisters sent word to Jesus, "Lord, the one you love is sick." When he heard this, Jesus said, "This sickness will not end in death. No, it is for God's glory, so that God's Son may be glorified through it." Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that Lazarus was sick, he stayed where he was 2 more days. And then he said to his disciples, "Let us go back to Judea." On his arrival, Jesus found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Now Bethany was less than 2 miles from Jerusalem, and many Jews had come to Martha and to Mary to comfort them in the loss of their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him, but Mary stayed home. "Lord," Martha said to Jesus, "if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now God will give you whatever you ask." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." And Martha answered, "I know. He will rise again in the resurrection at the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live, even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Do you believe this?" "Yes, Lord," she replied. "I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, who has come into the world." After she had said this, she went back and called her sister Mary aside. "The teacher is here," she said, "and is asking for you." When Mary heard this, she got up quickly and went to him. Now Jesus had not yet entered the village, but was still at the place where Martha had met him. And when the Jews who had been with Mary in the house comforting her noticed how quickly she got up and went out, they followed her, supposing she was going to the tomb to mourn there. When Mary reached the place where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet and said, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who had come along with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and troubled. "Where have you laid him?" he asked. "Come and see, Lord," they replied. Jesus wept. Then the Jews said, "See how he loved him?" But some of them said, "Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind have kept this man from dying?" Jesus, once more deeply moved, came to the tomb. It was a cave with a stone laid across the entrance. "Take away the stone," he said. "But Lord," said Martha, the sister of the dead man, "by this time there is a bad odor, for he has been there 4 days." Then Jesus said, "Did I not tell you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone. And then Jesus looked up and said, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I said this for the benefit of the people standing here, that they may believe that you sent me." When he had said this, Jesus called in a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out!" The dead man came out, his hands and feet wrapped with strips of linen and cloth around his face. And Jesus said to them, "Take off the grave clothes and let him go." It would be silly for me to ask if you have ever been to a funeral. We all have, some harder than others. We have all shed tears, tears of our own sorrow and tears of the sorrow of our friends. It is good to do that. Romans 12, 15 says, rejoice with those who rejoice and mourn with those who mourn. For me, leading a funeral, the biggest challenge is to keeping it together, not weeping with the family, and I'm not always that good at it. On one particular funeral, the granddaughter of the deceased lady was in my youth group, and I did pretty good that service until I looked at her, and I saw her tears, and so I lost it, and I had to pause to compose myself. On another occasion, the mother had lost her daughter. And every time I looked at her, I cried. And so I had to avoid looking her way so that I could get through the rest of the service. We are all too well acquainted with tears of sorrow. Now this week I'm starting a series that will take us right through Holy Week and even to Easter on tears. And it may surprise you, but the tears we're going to look mostly at belong to Jesus. Now the scene we have come upon in the 11th chapter of John is the death of Lazarus. And when we read this passage, we can certainly relate to the tears of sorrow shed by the mourners, especially Mary and Martha. And the Greek word that is used to describe the lady's weeping means to be loud wailing. Their sorrow is intense and very visible. In this passage, we heard the short and very penetrating verse, Jesus wept. But the Greek word used for Jesus weeping is different than the one used for the sisters. This word means to shed quiet tears. That is to say, Jesus shed quiet tears. Jesus, the one who made all things, and without him nothing was made that has been made. Jesus, the one who said, I am the light of the world, and light overcomes darkness. Jesus, the one who said, I came that you might have life in abundance. That Jesus wept. Why? Why did this scene of sorrow break his heart? He had gone there to raise Lazarus. He said the sickness will not end in death. So it doesn't make sense that Jesus would be crying over Lazarus, although that is what the crowd thinks, and they think it's an expression of how much Jesus loved him. But may I suggest to you that Jesus' tears had nothing to do with Lazarus. Jesus looked upon this familiar human condition of death, and he saw the pains of grief in the faces of his friends as the reality of the fall of man became all too apparent, for the wages of sin is death. This was never the Father's plan for his creation. Death had no part until Adam chose poorly. And three times in this passage, the Holy Spirit records for us the state of Jesus. In verse 33, when Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who had come along with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and troubled. Two verses later, Jesus wept. And three verses later, Jesus once more deeply moved came to the tomb. Standing before the tomb, knowing what he is about to do, Jesus stood with tears running down his face. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows comes to mind. But his tears are more than the compassionate tears of a friend. In the ancient Greek, this phrase, groaned or deeply moved, literally means to snort like a horse, implying anger and indignation. The word troubled means that Jesus has summoned up in himself the feelings of indignation at the havoc wrought by the evil one. And at the same time holding tenderness for the mourners. Jesus is angry with what death has done to creation. And he has come to announce that he will conquer death. And in three simple words, Jesus does just that. Lazarus, come out. And in that moment, everything changed. In this moment, the enemy realized what Jesus was here to do. And I'm sure it sent tremors of fear into the darkness. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die. And he asked the question, do you believe this? We are not helped by death, even if it comes to our bodies. Jesus said to them, take off the grave clothes and let him go. That is a word for us. Don't put on the grave clothes of despair and worry and fear, but live in the freedom of knowing who you are in Christ and who holds your future. Mary and Martha displayed solid faith even in their grief. They aren't angry with Jesus. In fact, they honor him to say, we know that you could have healed him if you were here. They just don't know how powerful Jesus really is. But they still believe he is the Messiah. The situation has not altered their faith. And this is so beautiful. Because sadly, there are many Christians who get really mad at God if he doesn't heal their loved one or answer a prayer in the way they thought it should be answered. And they give up on their faith and they give up on church. In essence, they have put on the grave clothes that they were never meant to wear. David wrote in Psalm 30, you have turned my mourning into joyful dancing. You have taken away my clothes of mourning and clothed me with joy, that I might sing praises to you and not be silent. O Lord, my God, I will give you thanks forever. Jesus raising a dead man to life is truly amazing. But it isn't the first time that he's done so. He also rose the widow's son in his funeral procession. And he rose Jairus' daughter. But neither of them had been in the tomb. And in Jewish culture of that day, there was a belief that the spirit hovered over the body for 3 days. Perchance it might be allowed to re-enter. But once decay set in, the spirit would leave. So for Jesus to wait those extra couple days and then raise a man dead 4 days in the tomb was beyond amazing. It was extraordinary. Now the tragic outcome of Jesus raising Lazarus in such a public setting. So remember all the crowds that came from Jerusalem. Was that word got back to the temple, back to the Pharisees? And this miraculous event becomes the last straw in those opposed to Jesus. And it led to the deliberate plotting of Jesus' death by the chief priests and the Sanhedrin. We'll continue that story in the weeks ahead. But friends, remember Mary and Martha. In the depth of their grief, they trusted Jesus. As tears of sorrow flooded their face, they held to their Savior. How much more should we, who have the entire counsel of God's word, trust him? How would you answer his question? Do you believe this? May the love which overcomes all differences, which heals all wounds, which puts to flight all fears, which reconciles all who are separated, be in us and among us now and always. And the blessing of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be upon you this day and forevermore.